Hi, this is Marian Samuel from the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua. Every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m., we interview a guest about real-life issues from the Caribbean. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversations, a time to explore the issues surrounding your everyday existence. Your family, your community, your environment, your health and safety habits, your lifestyle, both physically and spiritually, will all be discussed here on Lighthouse Conversations. Let's get started and see just what we can learn to better your life. Welcome to Lighthouse Conversation, and this is the second part of this interview with Mrs. Graham Charles, the nutrition manager at the Medical Benefit Scheme. How do I maintain healthy cholesterol levels?
Managing the amount of saturated fats and trans fats that we are consuming, and eating more heart-healthy fats, more of the olive oil, the olive, the avocado, the nuts and seeds and whole grains. Mm-hmm. Reducing the amount of fried foods that we're eating. Also, managing the fats overall. How much nutrients am I getting in? How much sodium, how much fat, how much cholesterol? How many carbs am I eating? How much protein am I consuming? Am I getting enough fiber? Because fiber is also important in managing hypercholesterolemia or high cholesterol in the body, especially the soluble fibers. So, for example, oats. Oats is really good. And those other foods that they turn gel-like or turn a little slimy when we eat those, okras. String beans, you know?
Okay, yes.
Yes, when we incorporate those in our foods, those help to reduce the absorption. Let me not say reduce the cholesterol, because if you put it in your mouth, it's already there. But then it helps the body not to absorb it, because it helps it to just pass out.
Okay.
It binds to the cholesterol. So that's really, really important. Persons can visit a nutritionist or a dietitian to help them to know where that balance is. That may change from time to time as we age, as we change in body weight, as we change in nutritional needs. You know, for example, somebody who's pregnant or somebody who has children, their nutritional needs will change from time to time. So those are some ways we can prevent cardiovascular disease in terms of our diet by choosing the heart-healthy fats, consuming a good amount of soluble fiber, watching our intake of sodium, and of course, we need to ensure that we are consuming less than 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day. Persons with hypertension need to consume less than 1,500 milligrams of sodium. And then sugar, it varies, but we usually aim for the 5 to 6 teaspoons per day, and the level teaspoon we're talking about, not the heat teaspoon. And we're not just talking about the teaspoon of sugar that we put in our tea or our porridge, but then also reading the labels when we buy packaged or bottled items that contain sugar, such as juice or cookies or cake or whatever nice delight that we like, you know?
Yeah.
Even honey, because we hear honey is better than sugar. That's debatable, depending on what perspective that comment is coming from. But honey contains calories. Honey contains sugar, just like cane sugar, just like beet or coconut sugar. And they are broken down at the end of the day to the same thing. If we're trying to manage diabetes or we're trying to manage a terrible yeast infection, both men and women get terrible yeast infection, which manifests itself on the human tongue. You know, if you look in the mirror, do the mirror test, and you stick your tongue out and you see it's white coated, that means that's yeast overgrowth in the body. A lot of sugar that we have to now reduce the intake and get our body more into an alkaline state. So there's a whole lot of things that does affect our body, and they're all interconnected. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about cardiovascular health, these are some of the steps that we need to take to ensure good heart health.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier an app. What was, did you name the app? Or
I did not name an app, but there are many apps that persons can find in any app store. Just go for the one that you think works for you. I usually recommend download 2 or 3 in the first instance and, you know, get a feel of it. A lot of the apps now are really improving because first time you could not find Caribbean foods in them. But what they're allowing persons now to enter Caribbean foods, of course, they have to kind of vet them because you may just see pepper pot, one serving, and it contains this amount of calories. Okay, what are the ingredients? I don't know. What kind of pepper pot? I don't know. What's a serving? You know, that sort of thing. So you might have to just feel around a bit. But and also, you may it may not be perfect in that you may not find every single thing you're looking for, but you just want a general idea of how you're eating. I personally have used apps to manage weight, and I found it was really, really helpful. For example, if I knew that I had to consume, and I'm not telling anybody to go and consume 1,600 or 1,800 calories. I'm just using it as an example. And say by lunchtime or afternoon time, I am about 1,500 calories out of 1,600. And I know I feel hungry. You know what I did? I did not say, okay, I can only eat one slice of bread for supper. I went on the treadmill. I went on that treadmill, and I did an hour on that treadmill. And I said, this is my supper I'm working for. And I'm telling you, I was able to manage the weight, effectively get to my goal. And you know, it's not everybody losing weight is overweight. Various persons have various goals that they're trying to achieve. But the app really does work. So once they can download, track for a couple of days in the week, track for a couple of days in the weekend. I don't want to recommend any particular app. Just go in there and look and see. And if they ask you to pay, there are lots of free ones out there. Just feel around and look and see what's available.
Okay. How does antioxidants promote good health, heart health? And what are some of the foods that are highest in antioxidants?
So antioxidants are a group of chemical substances that we can consume from foods that help to improve the health of our heart or even maintain a healthy heart. And those substances we call, they can be nutrients such as vitamins and minerals, and they also can be what we call phytochemicals, or some persons say phytonutrients. So fruits and vegetables are the main sources of antioxidants, and they contain a powerhouse. So fruits and vegetables contain a powerhouse of vitamins and minerals and fiber, and the phytochemicals, as I mentioned. And the phytochemicals are natural plant compounds responsible for vibrant colors and many health benefits. So eating from each of 5 color groups help us to get healthy varieties that we need for a better or a healthier heart. And so if we color code our foods then, and we look at colors, that will help us now to look at some of the various antioxidants and other phytonutrients that would help to build our heart. Keep in mind that nutrients and phytochemicals do not exist in food in isolation. And so what happens is, persons may go to a health seminar or hear something on the radio or do a little reading up, or on social media they may hear something and they hear that this one magic fruit is good, and everybody, even the dog in the house, have to eat this magic fruit, you know, and then they forget about the other things. And really, nutrition does not exist in isolation, so we have to eat widely.
Okay.
Eat widely, eat a variety of fruits and vegetables, and eat a variety of colors.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the reds now.
Mm-hmm.
The red fruits and vegetables, these contain lycopene, anthocyanin, and quercetin. Okay? Anthocyanin now is the antioxidant, and it's a flavonoid. As I mentioned, antioxidants, there are different types. So it's a flavonoid with antioxidant activity, all right? And this will help to increase the health of the heart. So like grapes. Grapes are good for persons who don't drink alcohol. You can still get the antioxidant properties from fresh grape juice or fresh grapes themselves. And we have other darkly pigmented fruits and vegetables locally found, locally grown, that we can eat. So even like beets, cherries, West Indian cherries, those are very high in vitamin C and antioxidants in general. Keep in mind that vitamin C is an antioxidant,
mm-hmm.
vitamin E is an antioxidant, and vitamin A is an antioxidant. And what happens is they work in like a team. So vitamins A, C, E, along with selenium and other nutrients, they work together like a nice antioxidant powerhouse to keep us strong and healthy. Keep in mind that antioxidants don't only keep the heart healthy, but it keeps us young. That is why, Mrs. Samuel, I see that you never age.
Oh,
so I'm sure your antioxidant intake is very high, you know?
I was about to tell you the same thing when you came in today.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So it's important that we ensure that we're just not eating one food item. And that's why sometimes when persons will ask a dietitian or a nutritionist a question, we may not always answer it directly because we try to stay away from saying this fruit or this vegetable is good for you and you need to eat lots of it. You know, sometimes it doesn't benefit the person. But if we eat widely,
mm-hmm.
eat a variety of colorful fruits and vegetables, and, you know, visit the dietitian or nutritionist to help to sort of put it into perspective on a meal plan for you, then you'll know, okay, I need to eat more of this or less of this depending on my condition. So let's talk about the yellow fruits and vegetables. So yellow orange is the next color scheme here, and these contain carotenoid such as beta carotene. This gives carrots and other yellow orange fruits and vegetables their color. Vitamin C as well is an antioxidant, as I mentioned previously, and these are very good to help reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease and some cancer. So let's talk about like the orange and lemons and limes, those types of fruits, papaya, pumpkin, carrots. The other day, my daughter and I, we did a nice juice where we juiced the carrots. And we juice some orange and we juice some apples with it. I put ginger in mine. I did a little tip for her, a lot of ginger for me. And we just drank it. We didn't add any sugar, anything to it.
Okay.
And it was so delicious. We felt so good. So these are some ways to get in the nutrients without even having to go and purchase supplements.
Mm.
You know, you can purchase supplements, but let us start with what's on our plate first,
mm-hmm.
in the kitchen,
right.
You know, in our garden, what's at the market. Let's talk about the whites now, the whites and the browns. These contain like allicin found in garlic and onions, quercetin, indolese. But when we talk about these, yes, they help to prevent certain types of cancers. All of these phytochemicals I've mentioned. But again, heart health. The white fruits and vegetables, or white and brown fruits and vegetables, they also are important to preserve the heart, such as bananas, dates, coconuts. And even whether the coconut is coconut water, that's considered a fruit, or coconut, the dried coconut, that's considered a fat.
Mm.
That's a saturated fat, but coconut does have therapeutic properties. So that's debatable, and the research is showing that coconut has helped persons with Alzheimer's, cancers, even in sports nutrition, various disorder, even yeast infection. There's an extract called from coconut. It's called caprylic acid, right? That really does help with yeast infection. Onions and the garlics. And when we look at the Mediterranean diet, they use a lot of garlic, onions, fennel, shallots, and those types of vegetables. Now, when we talk about the greens, such as spinach, kale, and other green vegetables, and then it goes over into like the avocado, as I mentioned, and the olive, the olives on a whole, broccoli. Broccoli has a good amount of vitamin C, even though it tastes like that. You don't get that zesty, tangy taste, but it does have a good amount of vitamin C. And that's why with broccoli, when we prepare it, you know, we don't want to overcook it,
right,
or any other vegetable. Of course, some vegetables are better prepared cooked than eaten raw, because again we're dealing with some other health issues that they can create, especially for persons with thyroid disease. Yes, some of them contain goitrogens, so we want to ensure that we are at least steaming them. You know, we don't want to overcook, but at least add some heat to it to break down some of those chemicals that would adversely affect a condition. So like lutein and zeaxanthin and indolese, again, these have these help with cancers, they help with eye health, and again, cardiovascular disease. They help to reduce heart disease. Now, the blue purples, we have a berry in Antigua here. I think it was imported from one of the other Caribbean islands, and those Caribbean islands got them from East India, which we call Jamun. There are other names for those. And those are our tropical version of grapes. So they are very highly pigmented, rich in color, very nice. It has a strong flavor. It's very satisfying for some people. Some people use it to make wine, but they can use it just like that to make the juice, the berry juice. And this contains resveratrol, which is a very good antioxidant, and it has very good anti-inflammatory properties. So, and then there's anthocyanin, a flavonoid that may preserve brain function as we age. So the antioxidants are not just for heart alone. They also can help with cell integrity and just our overall health, right? So as I mentioned, the jamun, like, and even dried plums like prunes and grapes. The grapes are grown locally now, raisins, and like purple cabbage, eggplant, and other purple blue vegetables and fruits that we can find locally. If we can't find them locally, well, take what's available. You know, at the end of the day, nutrition is important. So if we are going to be nitpicking and avoiding this or avoiding that, sometimes we prevent ourselves from getting the optimal nutrition that we can get. But if you can get something locally, it's locally available on a regular supply, or you see them now and again, you know, capitalize on that. But when we spoke about all these five colors here, the red, the yellow, orange, the white, brown, the green, and the blue purples, all of them have one thing in common. They help to protect our heart. So the take-home message is to eat widely from all the food groups. Eat naturally as possible, meaning the less processed the food, the better it is. Eat more locally, whether from our backyard garden or from a reputable farmer. And I say reputable in the sense that, you know, you don't want to be eating because it's locally eating, and then you've heard that they sprayed it with something that, you know, will go against your health at the end of the day. And ensure that there's sufficient soluble fiber, or fiber on a whole, but soluble especially when we're talking about managing cholesterol, and drinking sufficient water. because water is very important at the end of the day to help drive these nutrients in the body, keep our intestines healthy, you know, and the water is needed for other bodily functions or mechanisms that sometimes you can't see with the naked eye, but once it gets in there, the body knows what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Are organic foods more effective at promoting a healthy heart than non-organic foods?
Okay, so we have to define what is organic. And again, not going into a textbook definition, mm-hmm. but just bringing this to light that because it's organic, doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't contain GMO, genetically modified seeds. So we have to distinguish both. Organic really is talking about growing seeds without added any synthetic mm-hmm. pesticides or herbicides or growth material. But also keep in mind, if we're really going to go to true organic, we need to ensure that we are growing our fruits and vegetables using native seeds. So persons can say, or an establishment can say, that this is organic, but if it has not used the heirloom or native seeds, it really isn't truly organic. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have to establish that. At the end of the day, food security is very important. Mm-hmm. Food security is very important. And really and truly, if we look at our food supply, a lot of us are eating foods we don't really know mm-hmm. where the origin is, what conditions those foods underwent, how it was packaged, mm-hmm. or how it was transported here on island. All we know is that we purchasing it at the supermarket mm-hmm. or we purchase the seeds and we grow them, or we buy the fruits and vegetables. When we're preparing them, we take out the seeds and say we're going to plant them in the garden, and we really don't know the origins of that seed. Mm-hmm. So we have to say thank God that He's all powerful and keeping us alive despite all of these nuances that we have to yes. encounter and navigate.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when we are aware of where our sources are and we can make the best choice. So that's mm-hmm. what I always say. You don't always know, but make the right. best choice possible mm-hmm. to be in better health. And again, starting with your fruits and vegetables, ensuring that you're getting your 5 fruits and vegetables daily. Some people may need more, some people may need less. And let me start with myself. You know, each day I would walk to work with a container of fruits, a container of salad. And when I prepare my meal, I would have like maybe a cooked vegetable with it. And I do that every day. I mean, it does take time to prepare those fruits and vegetables. I do get some support sometimes, but it's important that persons make a concerted effort to do that, even if they are purchasing foods or buying out,
mm-hmm.
that they walk with their fruits, walk with their vegetable. It can be cut up and put in a container, or it could be a whole fruit like an orange, a banana, you know. It could be an entire cucumber that they can walk with and just eat like that. If they don't have the time. So just ways and means of just making it work.
Mm-hmm.
And it can work.
Mm. Okay. Do you recommend taking vitamin supplements, or do you think all of our vitamins should come from our food?
Okay. So some persons can get by without supplements. They are fine. Their body, they eat well, and how their body metabolizes and assimilates the foods is sufficient for them. And then there are others who do need to have take vitamin supplements, like a multivitamin supplement. Mm-hmm. Some persons may have a tendency to go low on iron, or go low on iodine, or go low on folic acid, especially us women. Mm-hmm. And you know, especially when we give birth, there's a baby within us that needs to be supplied with sufficient nutrients. So a multivitamin or a prenatal vitamin supplement may be necessary eat before birth, during breastfeeding, and even after the baby is 2-5 years old, growing up, you may find that need to take the multivitamin supplement, and especially for us women who have give birth maybe a prenatal, we may need to continue for some time and then probably get back on the regular multivitamin as guided by your healthcare provider, especially a physician. So person has to know their needs, know what symptoms they're encountering. Am I feeling lethargic? Am I feeling like, okay, listless, you know, those kinds of feelings. And am I feeling listless? Not because I'm staying up and on social media all night, so I am not getting sufficient sleep. Is it because I'm not drinking sufficient water? You know, if I'm getting enough sleep, I'm drinking sufficient water, I'm eating well, and I'm still feeling this way, I may need that. But most of us don't eat healthily enough. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't. And we should be getting a good supply of nutrients from our natural fruits and vegetables and whole grains and nuts and seeds and heart-healthy oils. A problem is, though, that we really need to talk about the elephant in the room is that foods are not nutritious as back as when our parents and grandparents were children and growing up. Because with industrialization, again, the integrity of the soil is very important. You know, and if you know, I do have a certificate in backyard gardening, and I study this widely. Even the wasteland that's there, it should not just be wasted land. What I mean to say is that even if you have grass growing on the land, the grass is actually doing, there's an ecosystem happening there. So it should not just be soil without any grass on it. The grass is there, there's life there. It's actually self-nourishing the soil so that when you're ready to plant, then the fruits and vegetables can get nourishment from the soil. Because we have to remember that once we plant the seed itself needs to be nourished in order to grow, and that plant needs to be nourished to grow. And so the integrity of the soil today is not like back in the day of our grandparents, our parents' grandparents, and before them. And so most persons now may need a multivitamin supplement. Again, as I mentioned, there are some persons who can do without. So it's, you know, look at symptoms, see how persons are feeling. Nowadays, persons can go to the lab and get their, you know, their blood tested to see if they have sufficient of a nutrient inside the body. And then they can take it from there. But, you know, there are symptoms that we can identify on the skin, skin integrity. But if they do go to the lab and they can find out whether they have sufficient calcium, whether they have sufficient vitamin D or vitamin B, and then we can make the adjustments accordingly, whether by nutrients in the food by itself or whether they need to have additional supplementation in terms of multivitamins, multiminerals.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like to mention to our listener that I failed to ask?
What I wanted to reiterate is that at Medical Benefits, there are many programs ongoing throughout the year. And we want to encourage persons to check out our social media pages, listen out for advertisements and PSAs that will help to build on their pre-existing knowledge base, or that will invite them to come on out and have an experience that will help to concretize some of that knowledge that they would have already received, or even new knowledge, so that they can live healthier lives, that they can feel fulfilled and energized to fulfill their purpose on this earth, whatever that purpose is, you know. But we are here to guide persons along the way. Again, as we mentioned, there are programs in the schools, and via the Ministry of Education, those schools would be informed accordingly. But we do have the self-management programs, and those programs run from a span of 4 weeks to we try to tailor them, but as far as 9 weeks. And usually when persons hear of the time span for those programs, they probably get a little discouraged. But we want them to know that all of these lifestyle diseases, you have to get the tools to effectively manage them. And coming to a 1 hour session is not going to be sufficient. And so we encourage persons to tap into these classes, come to these classes, make a special effort to be there and attend. And once you are able to get that information in and put it into practice, you'll be glad that you participated, and the results that you will see at the end of the day, it actually would be priceless.
Very good. Mrs. Dorothy Graham-Charles, Medical Benefit Scheme Nutrition Manager, thank you for coming and encouraging all of us to eat healthy and stay healthy.
Thank you so much for always having us.
Yes.
And we really appreciate that you value the services we offer at Medical Benefits. Yes. Information that persons receive from it that is helpful to them. And, you know, so much so to have us back again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, nutrition is very wide. There are so many points that we can expand on.
Right.
So always feel free to have us so that we can talk about other trending topics that persons want the information to be able to live better and healthier lives.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for listening in on our conversation. We trust that it was beneficial to you as you continue to develop a more meaningful life. Do you have a topic or a guest you would like us to have a conversation with for a future episode on Lighthouse Conversations? We would love to hear your suggestions. Send us a mail at Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1057, St. John's, Antigua, or lighthouse, B-I-M-I, at gmail.com, or give us a call at area code 268-462-1454, or send us a message via WhatsApp or text at area code 268-782-1454. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can hear Lighthouse Conversations Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse. If you're in Antigua, you can listen at 92.3 MHz FM. If you're in the Caribbean, you can listen at 1160 kHz AM or listen online at www.radiolighthouse.org from anywhere in the world. Or you can subscribe to this podcast. Looking forward to having you join us next time. Bye-bye.